Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the Transfiguration according to Matthew chapter 16, 21 through 17, 9, and I will quote from it as we go. A long time ago, people worshipped a God who promised that if you do what he wanted, you get a good life, good family, good health, good income, good job, and the college of your choice, if there were colleges back then. Everything this world can offer until you died, and you wouldn't die for a long, long time. Like a really long time. Like you're not really going to die. And anyway, why think about it when you got so much right here to occupy you? People called that God Baal. Later on, people called him Zeus. Now some people call him God, but he's not. In fact, he doesn't actually exist at all. He never did. He's always been just a front for the serpent who is always telling you, whether it's a fruit or an affair or anything this world has, go for it. Verse 26, gain the whole world. And don't worry, you shall not surely die. Scripture calls him the God of this world, who teaches that this world's not really fallen, and neither are you. On the other hand, there's Jesus, who says, verse 24, pick up your cross and follow me out. He promises that we'll get through, but that's it. In fact, he promises that if we follow him, we will have sufferings on the way out that we could have avoided. For instance, not that we'll necessarily be dirt poor like him, but we'll certainly be poorer than we would have been because we'll be giving away so much like him. And not that we'll necessarily do without a spouse and family like him, but that they may give us a hard time when they realize that they don't come first because we're following him, not them. He's not a mystic. He says, love them. And he tells us to tend to our business on the way through. He never told anybody to live in a cave and beat themselves. That's crazy. And the only ones who've got to give away everything are the ones who can't be trusted with anything. Otherwise, he just says, why don't you start by keeping 90% and just give the rest? And even in a fallen world, there are tons of things that are sweet and beautiful and fun. And I know that the God of this world tries to use them all as bait to trap us here, stupefied, until it's too late. But in Christ's hands, all that stuff is just blessings to comfort us on our way out. It's just that if we follow him, he'll never let us forget that we are on our way out, always on our way out, as if we were Jesus, who told his disciples, follow me. Verse 21, I have to suffer and die. Verse 22, Peter took him aside and started to reprimand him. That'll never happen to you, he said, as though Christ were just depressed or something. It means, Lord, with everything you can do, water into wine, and loaves and fishes and healings, why are you talking about dying when everything is so great? Jesus would say, because you got to die, Peter. You're fallen. And if I gave you the whole world and all the water were wine, what's the use when you can't stay here and you've got nowhere to go but hell unless you die with me, with me doing the pay for everything part. So pick up your cross and come on. To where? To a place you've never seen. Can we trust him? A bird in the hand is worth more than a truckload of promises unless we can trust him. Otherwise, we had as well get what we can and enjoy it while we can, even if it's nothing more than just a little peace and quiet. I mean, sure, help out, do your part, but never spend too much of our lives on anything but us and ours. And whatever's on offer, go for it and catch up with Christ later. Or if we must follow, keep it purely mental. Tell ourselves we're picking up our cross, but never let anything go that we really care about. tell ourselves that we're following just at a distance in order to leave room for all the things that actually come first, for all the things we actually trust to make us safe and happy. Following Jesus is trusting him. Taking the hits, taking the blessings, bearing the losses as if we were Jesus, and betting on Jesus all the way out. You remember how he told Abram, "Leave your home and I will take you to a land you have never seen." Abram trusted him. You can tell because he left and went with him. That's saving faith. And it's huge mercy from God. See, Abram couldn't have stayed home anyway. All fallen people have got to die. But now he could leave with the Lord. It's like that with us. We've got to leave. But now we can leave with Jesus without getting dragged out, and a little bit like him who left by his own choice. And whatever we've got here, we can't keep. But now we can choose to give it as if we were Jesus. We're going to lose these lives, you know that? But now we can pick up our cross and give our lives with love. As if we were Jesus or something. We could live and die with Jesus and go through death into heaven as if we were Jesus Christ, who went ahead to make it safe for us to follow to a place we've never seen. All Peter saw was a 33-year-old ex-carpenter, obviously poor, and apparently about to go down without a fight, as if he were weak, or as if he were just sort of into suffering when he could have had so much. He could have had it all. And Peter's supposed to just trust and head out with him for something that you never get to see until you're dead. And Peter was scared, as we get scared. And Peter, like us, well, we're always getting texted by the God of this world. Yeah, but Jesus has mercy on really fallen people in a really fallen world who gets scared and stupefied. So he told them, verse 28, "Some of you who are standing here, you're going to see where you're headed for before you die." And verse 1, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and two others with him and led them up a high mountain by themselves with their leader, who was bound and determined to get crucified, climbing up like them on foot in the night to the empty top in the dark, where, verse 2, he changed form in front of them till his face was shining like the sun, you know, so you can't look at it. And even his clothes became white as light. People miles away must have seen the light on the mountain and wondered what was going on. The God of this world saw the end of this world coming. What did Jesus do to himself? Nothing. He just stopped doing something a little. He stopped holding in who he was a little. If he'd let out all that he is, he would have vaporized the planet, which is still ahead. What did he turn into? Nothing that he wasn't already. The God of Mount Sinai, who upholds the universe, God of God, light of light, flooding out through his human skin, pouring out from inside him till even his clothes shone like lightning, till you'd think that when they pierced his hands, it'd be lightning bolts leaping out. Peter saw him as he is when he's home, a little, with his saints in glory. Verse 3, Moses and Elijah more alive than ever. Peter saw his future. He looked through into heaven and another world. He saw where Christ was leading him. He saw who was leading him, as if Christ were saying, "Peter, could I have it all? I have it all. I've come to spend it all to take you with me." And Peter said, verse 4, Lord, it's good that we're here. If you want, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Lord, it's good, heaven on earth, and nobody's got to leave. Everything right in this world, nobody's got to die. Everything we could want, you shining on it, and no cross for anybody, not you, not me. Lord, it's good that you really didn't mean what you said. Peter saw and he didn't see. How much he cost, how much God was willing to pay for him. Not just lightning through that astonishing skin, but blood out of that body, tears out of those eyes, groans out of that mouth, while that infinite majesty suffered many things at the hands of the elders and chief priests and was killed to pay our way out and rose to life calling, your turn. It's safe now. Pick up your cross and follow me. Peter saw and didn't see. We can sympathize. How many transfigurations have you celebrated? How many times have we come to this mountain? How many times have we seen a little of who's calling us and where we're headed with him? How many times since have we listened to the God of this world and stopped to sin a little? How often have we followed Jesus at a distance? To leave room for other things that came first? How much time have we spent following him mentally, while in our actual lives we still didn't trust him enough to just do what he says? To follow that living wonder, spend ourselves, take the hits, and love and give and forgive as if we were Jesus, for heaven's sake, just a little. How many times have our lives told him, like Peter, Lord, it's good that you didn't really mean what you said. Thanks for the blessings, Lord, and keep on shining. Look at the mercy of God. Verse 5. While Peter was still talking, before Peter had a chance to take it back, while he was still half in love with a world he couldn't keep, while he still had so little faith in his Lord, while he was yet a sinner, a bright cloud enveloped Peter and the others to God the Father Almighty, enveloped them in this tender brightness because they were fallen people in a fallen world, and he loved them. Christ had already had them covered, and his Father already charged it all to his Son. And while we are yet sinners, God the Father envelops us in the same tender brightness of his love as if we were Jesus. As if we were Jesus. It says Peter was afraid as he entered that holy cloud. I guess we'd all run if we could move, if he didn't tell us that where there's the least bit of faith, all is forgiven. He knows he spent enough so that even the terrified and stupefied are justified by his grace before we even start to follow. How else could we pick up something as holy as a cross? How else could we follow Jesus anywhere? Your Father loves you. Your Father loves you. As he enfolds us now, his voice is telling us just what he told Peter from within that holy cloud. Verse 5, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. It means, child, that's who you're following out of your fallen world. And you are not going to leave without him. No, you're going to pick up your cross and come home to me. And Peter, verse 6, he fell on his face on the ground. Well, you know, if we're in it all, we're in over our heads, verse 7. But Jesus came and touched them. He's going to touch us at this altar in a second. And he said, get up. Don't be afraid. Jesus wasn't afraid. He's used to it all. Verse 8, when they looked up, they saw no one but Jesus. And he looked the same as he always did. But Peter never argued with him again. And they all followed him down the mountain. Your turn. Amen.